Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players. Build a Pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Hit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Las Vegas. You are listening to the Crazy Sexy Cool Podcast. I'm your host, Bethany, and I'm joined by my co-host, my mommy friends. We have Meek and Elizabeth. How y'all doing, ladies? What's the tea, mommies?
Always in mommy mode.
I was just about to say that.
There was like a collective like sigh and silence, like, ooh.
So today is a special episode. As you guys know, the three of us, well, if you don't know, the three of us, we are moms. We all have 6-year-olds. at the time of this recording. Not sure, because, you know, people will go back and listen to podcasts and like catch an episode. It's 2020 and we're in the middle of a pandemic and we are moms of six-year-old kids. So just know that we are a bit exhausted, but we do have some pretty important things. I feel like right now we're in the midst of a revolution. And with everything that's going on with Black Lives Matter, what is really important to also mention is that Black women in particular, like, it's really important to say that this is really Black women. And there are some women of color who are also facing this. But right now, racism is a national health emergency. So what's happening in the hospitals is pretty devastating when it comes to women literally going into the hospitals for COVID. A lot of women have died seeking treatment, but have been sent home. But when it comes to pregnancy, it's not looking too good for us Black women. So just to catch people up to speed, the United States leads the developed world in maternal and infant mortality. Nationally, for Black women, the maternal death rate is nearly four times that of white women, and 10 to 17 times worse in some individual states. I thought it was important for us to kind of share our stories of becoming mothers and what that whole process was like, because I feel like there are some things that was not explained to us when we became able to have children, when we were able to, you know, get pregnant. There are things that they don't discuss when in sex education, when you're in, I'm not sure what grade you guys were in, but I was in fifth grade when we had, like, they pulled us in, out of our classes and they separated the girls and the boys. Like, that was fifth grade for me.
So wait, just before you go dive any deeper, now with you being an adult and with you being a mommy, do you think that that is a topic that should be learned in school or at home? Both. Sex education.
I feel like, you know, there needs to be people who are properly educated and know how to talk to preteens about their bodies. And then if the children have questions, they should be comfortable enough to be able to talk to their parents about it. I was not able to talk to my mom about any of that. She had my brother when she was 15. She got pregnant at 14, had my brother at 15. And she just thought I was supposed to just learn from her, like, don't have sex and don't have a baby early. Like, she never, like, verbally said that to me. She just thought I was supposed to pick up on that. So that's why I feel like there needs to be educated people who come in and teach boys and girls about
your body. I feel like there needs to be educated people that teach the parents to communicate. I don't want to put that, the responsibility of my son learning sex education, on the school system. Like, I think that, like, it's your body. Like, it's something that is natural. That is, like, natural conversations, I think, should be held at home. But because we've now, you know, we've ventured away from knowing ourselves and knowing how this body mechanism actually functions, we become codependent on the school systems to teach us about our body. Like, no.
Right.
Like,
but
you know,
I mean, I have friends whose parents were completely incompetent. Like, they were not able to talk about sex. Like, they don't even want to talk about sex. It's just like, don't have it. And it's like, wait, hormones are happening.
Right.
Sex is going to happen. So a conversation has to be had. But I know exactly what you mean, because
right, and I'm not talking about our parents. Like, they've already, you know, we grown. I'm talking about how we gonna approach it with our children, the new generation.
But a lot of those teachings are passed down generation to generation. But at the same time, you can't always trust the people who come in to teach about these things, because looking at where we are right now, Black women are in a fucked up position when it comes to giving birth at hospitals. So who is really supposed to come in and teach? So this is why I feel like this is a very important thing for us to have conversations about our own personal experience.
Right.
So people can learn and get some information and kind of, you know, ask themselves questions like, you know what, when I choose to have children, I can ask these questions to my doctor or midwife or doula, whoever, you know, whatever route you choose to go with your birth. So,
right.
Yeah, it's a...
And I think the sex talk needs to be talked before puberty. Like, I talk to Elijah about sex now. of course, it's digestible for him to receive it. I'm not out here like, when you fuck, and then like, no. He understands. He understands, you know, he, you know, certain parts of a woman's body. And, you know, like, you know, that a baby is in the mommy's stomach. Like, he, yeah, he understands the anatomy of it. So it's like, you know, and I want to build on that, yeah, as well.
Seven, when my dad gave me the talk. Now, when it comes to Prince, I let him know, you know, he sees pictures of me pregnant. I literally have one right by my bed. So he understands that the woman carries a child and, you know, he's still learning about like the process of how long a woman is pregnant and the baby grows inside the mom.
And but he still has time.
Yeah, I mean, plenty of time. Well,
yeah.
But there are some girls though who start their period very early.
Yeah.
And so right. Like at what point, because I have a friend who started her period at 9. And I remember like being in school and she had to leave class. And she didn't come back for like almost a week because she started her period at 9 years old, and she's going through this whole like she's cramping, you know, she's trying to figure out how to use a pad.
Going through a whole thing
because her mom didn't give her the talk about, because she didn't know. You don't think like 9 years old, let me give my child a talk about her period, right. But yeah, it's just so weird. But I've what I also want people to do is to not be so afraid to have these conversations with your children. I wish my
they
mom
are
did.
Normal.
I really wish.
Yeah. So my normal. Mom
did. Yeah.
This is and honestly, like everything that we're about to talk about, it all like ties in together, because the unknowing leads into fear, which then leads into, you know, trusting people that don't really have your best interest, that you just assume because they have a PhD or whatever that they got your best interest, when actually they don't. And yeah, like everything has been strategic, like nothing is coincidental. Like this has all been set up for just for profit, if we can be profit and power, if we can be, yeah, honest. So
yeah. So Meek, can you tell us about when you found out you were pregnant? And how did that, like, how did it go? What was, like, the first thing you did?
Okay, so.
Because, like, I'm pregnant, now what?
Like, I vividly remember. So, I was laying on the couch, fell asleep. I had a dream. I got to tell y'all about this dream. So, I had a dream that I had, like, I always have teeth dreams, always. And this particular tooth was was like marble, and it had like diamonds on it, and I went in the back of my mouth and I pulled it out, right? And it was just so vividly when I dreamt it. I woke up, looked up what the dream was about, and everything I looked at was like pregnancy, expecting like new mom. Like new mom, I kid you not. I didn't throw up. I didn't have no like extra shit. Like it was the dream. So I was like, I went down to Albertsons and I got like 5 tests. I kid you not. I got one of them that had like the 3 tests in it, then it had the 2 tests. I pissed on all of them. They came back positive. I still didn't believe it. I went back to Albertsons and got Clear Blue, because you know Clear Blue is digital. So
it'd be like, went, pregnant.
I use Clear Blue too.
No,
yeah.
You pregnant.
So, dog.
I went and got Clear Blue, and it was like, yep, you pregnant.
You is.
So, the first thing I did was I called my BD, my baby daddy, told him, and kept it real short. Then, you know, and then I thought, like, that's when the thinking process goes through your mind. And I started evaluating where I was in my life and how everything was set up. And I'm like, am I going to keep my baby? You know, like, is it right for me to even have a baby right now, given the circumstance of me and my child's father? Me and my child's father were not together. Like, to be, like, the whole backstory with that, we were, like, fucking around with each other. I'm gonna just be frank. I'm not gonna try to beautify any of this. We were fucking around with each other for like 3 months, and kind of find out, you know, there was some, like, it was some really bad behavior going on his end. So then that's why I was like, you know, I can't fuck with you no more. And I went and I just removed myself. And 2 weeks after removing myself from that situation is when I found out I was pregnant.
Okay.
Yeah. So given that situation, yeah, I was in question if I was even going to have my baby or not. Then my sister, who y'all two know, is like, she's like my best friend. She's my rock. You know, hey, I told her, I told her I was pregnant and she didn't believe me. So this is the thing too. I was not that woman that liked kids. Like, I was never that woman like, oh yeah, girl, bring your kid over. I'll watch him for right. you. Like, negative. Like, I like, hey, baby cute. Keep it, baby. Don't hold it. Like, I don't want to hold it. Like, no, I'm good. So I was never that person. And also the way I function, like, I don't be bringing men around my family either. You know, I'm not that girl to be like, hey, guys, this is my guy. Like, I don't. Like, I date in secret. So people didn't even know I was fucking. Like, people didn't even, wasn't even under perception that I was out here having sex. So when I tell you nobody believed me. And then I pulled out my bag. I had a grocery bag full of pregnancy tests that I took eight of them. Like, see, I was like, look, I pissed on all of these, like eight of them. And my sister was like, damn. So then I'm over here crying, because For the women that do know, once you find out you're pregnant, it's like you could just start feeling your hormones just like surging. You emotional, you crying, like things that just normally won't rock your world is like throwing you completely off your square. And I'm just not in a good mood. My sister gave me this sermon, girl, that just sealed the deal. She was like, look it, you gonna have this baby. And you got it, like, and it wasn't a pressure thing. It was more of a, like, you can do it, you know, because, like, I think there was fear on, like, bro, like, can I even do this, you know? So, like, it was just reassurance, like, bro, like, you good, like, you can do it. Even if you don't have the support of your child's father, like, you're strong enough where you can fucking do it. So decided to go on with my pregnancy. The thing, the gag is, though, Elijah was so easy, man. Like, everyone always asked, like, oh, did you go through, were you nauseous? Did you throw up? Did you, like, my baby treated me so well. Like, and I always say, like, I think he just knew the mental, like, war that I was, like, in. Like, yeah. I was depressed, clinically depressed for 6 months of my pregnancy. When I tell you I was depressed, I did not get out of bed. I didn't comb my hair. I stopped taking care of myself. I would only roll out of bed to take a shower, to go to work and dance. And I wasn't eating healthy. Like, I would like smash like potatoes.
Yo, real quick.
What was your craving?
Yo, real, before you talk about the craving, so I was like almost 9 months pregnant, and I took my little brother to the club for his 21st birthday, and I see Meek dancing, and I walk up to her, and I had on like this fur vest, so it kind of covered up my belly, and I open my vest and I'm like, Meek, look, and I show her my stomach, and she's like, bitch, I'm pregnant too. Like, she was up there dancing. I was like, oh my god, I'm pregnant.
Sisters, look at y'all want to do.
We didn't know you then, so chill
you
out.
We didn't. It's okay.
And you probably weren't pregnant at that time. This was February of 2014, so you may have probably just been pregnant, Liz. But yeah,
like, just found out. Oh yeah, February. Yes. So yeah. So like, and so that means I was 4 months.
If you're killing it,
like 4 months pregnant. I danced until I was 6 months pregnant, and like was dancing in 6-inch heels, like pregnant. But yeah, I was freaking depressed. And then, like, you know, some way, somehow, I don't know what it was, but like the strength just started to come back, you know, like I was just on some, like, you know, I need to just grab this by the wheel and like I stop
the
allowing.
Baby's gonna be here.
Because the baby's gonna be here. So like the strength, like, you know, and one of the funny stories I like to hear is, so originally Elijah's name was Brooklyn Monroe. And the reason why is because I went to get an ultrasound and the lady was like, oh yeah, you know, you're having a daughter. Now remind you, I knew I was having a son. Nobody could tell me that I was not having a son. And she was like, you're having a daughter. And my mama and my sister like was making crazy fun of me, like, oh yeah, you thought you had a boy, girl, you got to have a girl, blah blah blah, you know. And I'm like, yo, I'm like, and my mom like, no, nah, man, I need to go get another one done. So I went to my doctor and had it done. When I, let me tell, no, actually no, what, I can't remember where we went and got it done. When I tell you, so the whole time between the appointments of me getting the second ultrasound to confirm, I'm over here calling, you know, rubbing my belly and calling E. Brooklyn, right? And so the next episode, the next appointment, I kid you not, the next episode, Elijah's legs was like spread eagle and all you see is just big penis on the damn. He was like, look, I'm not a girl. Stop calling me a girl. That's not what I am. I am a boy. Like, I am a boy, Damon. Stop calling me a girl. Okay. He was not playing with
you. I am not playing with you.
Now when we talk about like my, like the healthcare experience, I went to a doctor that has delivered a lot of like friends and family's babies. So I followed that route. I was too like emotionally depressed to like do the proper research as to like what my options and stuff were. So, you know, the friends and family was like, oh, this is who I went to and she did it this. And in the first couple of appointments, it was cool. But once you hit that 5 month stage, you then are just a number. Like those, they're like pricking you, getting blood, and like literally like you finally get in the office with your doctor and it's like, how you feeling? Check. All right, cool. All right, cool. All right, bam, you're out. Like nothing. Like I, to be honest, I never even talked about my depression with my doctor. You know, like I don't think she
did
ever
feel
like
you had
that.
The opportunity to
no
to talk about it, right?
No, like there was never like because like you don't just go in and be like, I'm depressed. Some people do, but you know, sometimes because it's just so. It's so, you know, fragile and so sensitive. Like sometimes the opportunity needs to be provided instead of
right.
You know, like,
you have to ask those questions. Yeah.
Yeah. To like really see like what's the mental health of that being. Then I'm going to just fast forward. When it came down. So Elijah's due date was July 25th. Elijah came knocking July 25th at 6 o'clock in the morning. Like right on time. And at first he said, you know, it was like it felt like a little ache in the back, and you know, I'm sleeping and it's like I'm not comfortable. I'm like, I kept turning, trying to get comfortable. I'm not comfortable. I'm like, okay, I'm not comfortable. And then I'm starting to feel a little bit of pain going, and I'm like, okay. And so I tell my sister, I'm like, I think I'm going into labor. She's like, okay. She's like, what you want? I was like, let's walk. You know, like, so,
okay,
I'm gonna backtrack a little bit. So during my pregnancy, I did not have any type of support from my child's father. So I had no sex, you know, I had a lot of built up freaking energy, because for those that don't know, when you pregnant, you horny as shit. Like, I had a lot of built up energy. And I was actively going to the gym, like, at 7, like, all the way up to like, 8 months. Like, I would jog. I would run miles, like, while I was pregnant, you know? So I'm telling my sister, I'm like, you know, let's walk. And so we walk in, and it's cool, whatever. And I'm still feeling the pain, and we walk in. I'm like, cool. Then we call my mom. My mom pulled the Tahoe around, like, with that bitch, and was like, all right, let's go. We're going to go to the doctor. So we go to the doctor, and you want to talk about dismissive. Like,
oh my God.
I guess, like, in my mind, I just thought that there was going to be, like, this welcoming committee for me.
Like, okay, the baby's on the way. Come on in.
No,
like the movie.
It was not that. And then, like, me being a first-time mom, you just don't know what's going to happen. And you see so many of those ER TV shows where it's like, out of nowhere, your freaking water bust and the baby, like, you know what I mean? So, like, we go up there, and the lady's like, I'll be with you in a minute. And my mom was like, she's about to have a baby. You know, like, she's in labor. She's like, I'll be with you in a minute. And I'm like, all right, cool. So she finally, like, calls us up. My mom signs me in, and they take us in, not, they didn't take us in the back where the rooms are. They took us in, like, the prepping room or whatever. And they go and they check me, and at that time, I was at 3 centimeters. So they were like, you're not dilated enough. Like, you can go back home. I'm like, okay, cool. So we drive all the way back home from Centennial Hills Hospital. And I'm like, I'm sitting here, and it's like coming. Like, it's like, it's like I could feel it progressing fast. Like, just in, like, intuitively, like, I know that my body's progressing fast. And, like, my sister's like, Meek, you can do this. She was like, you have, you know, I could run you a bath, get in the bath, you know. Like, I was like, no, I don't want to get in the bath. Like, now I'm flustered, you know. Now, like, I'm flustered, like, and because I was not aware of what my body is capable of doing, I don't know how to tap into that, you know. And now, like, you know, in retrospect, it was more mind over matter. You know what I mean? Like, if I knew certain, like, body cues or whatever, I would have been able to, like, breathe or whatever. But I didn't know any of that. So I'm like flustered. I'm moving around. I'm uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is that your doctor didn't prepare you for birth.
No.
Got it.
Absolutely did not. Like, absolutely did not. Did not say, like, okay, you're going to feel this, or, like, you know, when you feel this, breathe like this, or, you know, or even something as simple as, hey, when you go into labor, you know, we want to try to do as much labor at home. You know, make a playlist, put on music that soothes you, like, something that simple. Light a candle that, like, you know, relaxes you, because that's all that it is. You know, it's crazy how simple it is, but it's not taught. So my sister, like, was like, I get in the shower. Man, I got in that shower. I turned that shower off. I was like, no, take me back to the hospital. I get back to the hospital. I kid you not, it wasn't even that long in time before the first time I went. I get back there, I was already at 5 centimeters. Like, yeah. So this is, like, within minutes. So, like, I was already at 5 centimeters. And the doctor and the lady told me, like, look, if the pain gets to the point where it's unbearable, we'll give you something, right? She didn't say exactly what she said, we'll give you something. So I get back there, and I'm trying to, like, you know, push through it and try to get as, you know, get as far along without having anything, you know. But before I got to 6, I called the nurse back in, and she gave me something that starts with a D. I think it's just, like, a painkiller. It's not the epidural, but it's, like, something lighter than that they give you. And then once I got to 6, going into 7, they were like, you know, they offered the epidural, and I was like, yeah. And once again, it's about the overall, like, the scene. Like, the hospital is cold. I'm not in my bed. Like, you know, my family in there cackling. Like, uh-uh. Like, I, like, all of that was just, like, contributing to the pain that I was feeling. So, like, I'm like, yeah, okay. So they give me the epidural. Girl, when I tell you, you can't feel shit from your hips down. Like, I had no use of my legs. Now, also, another thing that they did not tell me about the epidural, I didn't know that it was going to slow the pregnancy down. Mm-hmm. So, technically, Elijah would have been, like, he would have been delivered, like, right on time, you know, like, on his due date. My pregnancy, like, it was progressing pretty fast. After the due date, after the epidural, my pregnancy ended up lasting 19 hours. Now, because my son was slow, like, because, you know, him coming out was slowed down, he ended up inhaling his own feces, which then led to him having to be in the NICU for 5 days. Now, 2 of those days, they were able to work on him inhaling the feces. But then 3 of those days, he had jaundice. So this is the thing that I don't get, is that why don't the NICU have windows? Like, none of the NICUs in Las Vegas has windows. Jaundice comes from a baby not having exposure to the sun. So
yeah, because some people tell you, take your baby outside, let him get some sunlight.
That's what jaundice is from. So it's like, why? But what it does, though, it allows them to keep the baby in the NICU for a longer amount of time and run that tab up, you know? So, right. Yeah.
Money grab.
And then also, after I had Elijah, they literally snatched my baby and was like out the door. I didn't see him. I didn't touch him. I didn't do anything. Like, there was no contact. There was no nothing. And then the black nurse, kid you not, the black nurse was like, y'all, she haven't even seen her baby. And they brought the baby. They brought Elijah back to me, and I was able to see him for a brief second. And then they snatched him away and had him in the NICU. Yeah.
Oh, that's so frustrating.
Wow. That would have freaked me out. You can't take my baby away.
And then also another, and this is like, because I don't want to prolong the story anymore. But also another thing I also experienced was like, I know I look young. So a lot of it has to do with the fact that I look young, especially if I dress down. But like, it's also like the assumption that I'm like a teenage mom. Like, I had doctors that wouldn't even proceed with like whatever checkup I was there for. Because they was like, oh, I'm waiting for your mother to come in. And
I'm a like, grown-ass woman, dog.
I'm like, yeah, I'm grown. And they like, oh, I'm so sorry, you know? And so yeah, I experienced that too.
So would you say, when you think about your birthing experience, would you say it was a positive birthing experience? Or would you say it was a negative? It was like, if you had a Yelp review on your experience, what would you give it?
I would honestly give it a one, and I take some accountability in that, you know, a little bit. The only reason why I say a little bit is because it was a lot of unknowing, you know, like if I knew what I know now, like I honestly feel like I cheated my son a proper entry into this world. You know, like, I honestly feel that, where it's like, we didn't do the touch. You didn't get to taste the calcium or whatever the shit is, like, you know, you didn't get to taste that, you know what I'm saying? Like, we didn't have any of that, you know? So like, yeah, like it was definitely a one. Anytime I talk to expecting mothers, the first thing I advise them to do is to find them a doula or a midwife, and not even on some like to have them deliver your baby, but just for education. Like, your body is a machine and it has a manual. We've lost the manual. So, and the midwives and the doulas, they have the fucking manual. Like, right. Go get educated about what your body is able to do. Like, don't just trust these doctors.
Yeah. What about you, Elizabeth? So when you found out you were pregnant, how did that happen? And what was your next step?
Okay. So my story is a little different. How I found out. Well, first, I had just moved to LA. I probably was there about 2 months in before I found out I was pregnant. So for me, I was on this like water diet. Ooh, where I literally was just drinking like water, Kanye pepper, but I was doing it for a purpose. I was auditioning for America's Next Top Model at the time. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, I gotta get ready. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is this serious business, water diet. I need to not eat anything. So I tried this water diet for like 7 days. And in the midst of this water diet, I fainted at work. I was in the middle of an order. At the time, I was working at a bakery. And I was in the middle of an order with actually a customer. And like literally behind my ears got really hot. And in my mind, I just thought it was because, you know, my sugar levels was low because I was on this water diet. I wasn't eating. And also, that's what my boss thought when he found me on the ground and he came and brought me like, you know, some fruit and water and was like, you could, do we need to call an ambulance? I'm like, no, I'm okay. It's just the water diet. So not even thinking. So I went to my audition the following week for America's Next Top Model. And for those who don't know, when you're auditioning for America's Next Top Model, you have to take a drug test and you have to take a pregnancy test before they start shooting you. So one of the ladies in there was like, call me, like, hey, you're pregnant. So, excuse me, are you sure it's me? Sure.
So it wasn't a doctor. You found out from like a producer of a show.
Yes. Yes. And I cried. I cried. Literally the next day I made an appointment at Planned Parenthood, which I really hate that place. But at Planned Parenthood, and then, you know, they bring you in there and they like, so they'll tell you how long you are pregnant. And they'd be like, oh, so what do you want to do? Pretty much, do you want abortion? Do you want to keep it? Or so I'm just like, I just have to think. So I just left, literally left. My child's father went with me to the doctor's appointment. And then we also took two pregnancy tests at home as well. And I was like, yeah, this is it. I just kept crying because I'm like, I don't even know how to do this. I don't know how to be a mom. Like no disrespect to my mom, but my mom was never really a mom to me growing up. So I didn't grow up learning those things or, you know what I'm saying? Like how to be a right. mom. It wasn't good for me. My experience. I love my mom. We're cool to this day, but I didn't get those type of, those type of things from my mom, like how to be a mom, like any of that. Anyways. Yeah. I was very emotional, scared, but I still went with it. I was like, you know what? This is supposed to happen. So
you felt like it was destiny in a way.
Yeah, because this is how I found out and everything, and it really made me really made me overthink. And I definitely was young at the time. I had her at 22. Mm-hmm. Not too young. I was, thank God I didn't have her in high school. That was my goal. All my other friends
to make it out of high school without a baby.
I'm like, oh yeah, this is great. But yeah, it definitely put me in I'm always an overthinker, but I just kept overthinking the situation and just had to literally learn on my own. I literally disappeared from everybody, social media. I literally didn't have a phone for a whole year during my pregnancy, like threw my phone away. Like only time you can get in contact with me was actually through my child's father. And that was limited to people who could talk to me, like my best friend, my aunt, and my mom and my sister. But yeah, so far as for my pregnancy, me and my child's father was in a relationship the whole time. So he was there for me. I literally worked my whole pregnancy as well, though. I worked all the way until 8 months. Guys, I didn't take no pictures. I wish I would have did like all the activities, you know, like the mommy, I don't know, paint the belly, all that stuff. I wish I would have did all that.
Yeah, like making cast and maternity photos.
I wish I would have did all that. I didn't, you know, maybe in another lifetime. But yeah, my experience as far as like going to birth, Lyric was actually due September 24th. She actually was born September 17th. Lyric kicked a hole into my bag. So I was leaking for a couple days.
Okay.
And for me, the first couple of days, I didn't really know that she actually, you know, kicked a hole in my bag. I was leaking. I thought it was like, because me and her dad was having sex a lot. So I just thought it was like, you know, stuff just coming out. So I was like, to the point where like 3 days went by and it was like a lot. And I was like, yeah, this isn't normal. So I literally, before I went into the hospital, I called my sister. I took a shower. I packed my bag. We went to Olive Garden and then I went to the hospital.
Why did you go to Olive Garden, dog? You was
I wanted that. Pasta. I was wanted pasta so bad. And I was like, well, if this is going to be my last meal before they give me Jell-O and crackers, I want pasta. So I'm about
to. Yeah, I keep going to jail.
Yeah, but once they admit, all I know is my sister told me, like, once they put you in there, you ain't gonna be able to eat. I'm like, ugh. I'm like, I'm hungry. So, and literally when I got there, they kept trying to tell me I couldn't eat. They kept giving me ice chips. That was not working. I was hungry. So I went in and they were like, yeah, good thing you came in because you would have had a dry birth. She kicked a hole in your bag. So I'm like, okay. I went in. I want to say it was like 3 o'clock in the daytime. And they're like, okay, everything was fine. Her heartbeat was fine. It was just me and her dad there, actually. I didn't really want anybody there. I didn't even call anybody. But yeah, I went in and...
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here from Cinephobe. Yeah, that podcast. It's a good one. Ascertain. Telling you right now, Prize Picks, that's the way to go. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million members. The easiest and most exciting way to play DFS is just you against the numbers. You pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. It's demon time. That's right. You're asking, what does that mean? It's demon time. I'll tell you. Demons and Goblins, the newest and most exciting way to play at Prize Picks. Squares marked with red demons or green goblins get you different payouts. You can now win up to 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. That's insane. That's insane of Prize Picks to do. You know what else is insane? They offer injury insurance so that your entries stay in play, even if one of your players gets injured. For football and basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player projection won't count against you, and the rest of your entry stays alive. Prize Picks is the only DFS platform with an injury insurance policy. And by the way, they now offer Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account. This football, basketball, any season you're playing. Me personally, I'm taking more than points on Joel Embiid all the time. I'm taking more than assists on Tyrese Halliburton. I'm taking less than points on Jordan Poole. Those seem to be the easy money makers for you. And you're probably wondering, Zach, how do I get involved in this? You go to prizepicks.com/ding and use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/ding. Use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Hello, listener. Have you ever used ButcherBox? I don't know if you know this about me, but I used to be a butcher. I used to work at an unnamed grocery store. I used to be that tall man behind the counter in your neighborhood, cutting up meat and preparing seafood for you. And I know that it can be a stressful situation. I know that it can be crowded. You have to wait your turn. You have to know what you want. You feel rushed. Sometimes you might think that your butcher has a bad attitude. I don't know. Happened to a friend. Couldn't possibly be me. But that's why I love ButcherBox. ButcherBox brings you peace of mind. You can easily find high quality beef, chicken, pork that you can trust is humanely raised. There's no antibiotics or added hormones. There's the ultimate convenience of not having to deal with butchers or the crowded meat counter after a long day at work. It's delivered right to your doorstep. There's always free shipping and there's incredible value. You're getting really high quality products at an amazing value. You get exclusive member deals. You get recipe inspiration, guides, hacks. A little hack from my butcher experience, the petite top sirloin, which is about half the price of the New York steak, is a very similar cut with a fat cap on one side, and you get very good tenderness out of the petite sirloin. If you've ever been to a Brazilian steakhouse and you see them talking about picanha, that's the petite sirloin. With ButcherBox, I'm always prepared. I always have meat on deck for a grill and chill, a cookout, or just making dinner at home. And I'm saving a ton of money from shopping at the grocery store all the time. Now, I know what you're thinking. That's great, but what's my reward for signing up for ButcherBox? Well, I'm glad you asked, because if you sign up at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, you will get free ground beef for life. For life. Enough ground beef to fill the Nile, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/dings.
Literally the next day, they're like, okay, if nothing happens, but by tonight, in the morning, we're going to induce your labor. So I'm like, okay. Not even, you know, understanding what all this means, just sitting there like, okay, I'm going into labor in the morning. So through the whole night, I was having like contractions, like contractions on 1,000. I'm like, this is crazy. Like it hurt it so bad. But the thing is with them is the morning at once I woke up in the morning the next day, they kept trying to push the epidural on me. And I went in saying I didn't want to take the epidural. So I was like, I'm not doing that. Don't want no medicine. I don't want to be temporarily paralyzed if I moved a certain way or you stick this long needle at my back. I was just panicking. I was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. But every time like the contractions were getting worse, the nurse would come in and be like, see, you can be in there like the other girls, just relaxing, waiting for the baby to come out. But now you're in here with pain. We can give you the epidural now. And I'm like, no, I'm good. So I'm sitting there.
I am the question.
Right. And I'm just sitting there and I'm in pain. And then I'm telling my nurse, I'm like, she's coming right now. She's like, no, you're not. I'm like, yes, she is. Like, I feel her. And then she was like, no, you're not. So then the doctor came in to induce me and she lifted up and she was like, you're 8 centimeters. Like, you're going into labor right now. And I'm like, I told this girl, like, the nurse, I was like, I told her, I feel like I was about to take, for to me, it felt like I was taking a shit. Like, I was like, I got to poop really bad. She was like, no, you don't. I was like, yes, I do. I was like, I really have to poop really bad. And it was like, literally, Lyric Head was like sitting right there. So literally, it was like,
just busted open, like, look.
Yeah, I was telling her, I was like, this is, I'm like, these contractions is getting worse. I'm like, I really have these. She was like, no, you don't. I'm like, yes, I do. She waited all the way until the doctor got there to, but the crazy thing is the doctor that was supposed to deliver my baby wasn't even there. She was in labor herself.
So your doctor was pregnant?
Correct.
Wow. Okay.
But okay. She's still, even though she would talk to me about pregnancy, like, did I have any questions or anything? But she also didn't, like, really educate me either. And, I mean, that's not necessarily her fault.
True, but the type of money that these obstetricians or whatever are getting, the least you could tell us is, like, the just little form of like, yeah. Like, it comes, like, in those, it's required. It's required appointments that we have. Like, if I could have called and said, y'all, I don't want to meet today, I definitely would have did that. But, like, it's like, no, like, you got to go to these appointments. And it's like, with those appointments, they could have been giving me information, even if it's just a little fucking sentence of, like, how to soothe yourself or something like that, like, something informative. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So then I started to go in labor. Labor for me was only, like, 4 hours.
So like you don't count the contractions you were having that night?
See, I didn't because they were getting bad, but I didn't. I mean, I guess we can call that labor too. So total 8 hours, but I didn't really count it until like I was pushing her out for like.
Oh wow!
You were pushing time. For you? Were
no,
pushing
no,
for
no,
four
no,
hours?
No. Once the contractions hit in the morning, it was like really, really, really bad. Those couple hours, and then like I started to push. So. I wanted to say from the morning I woke up when those contractions, like, those were bad. Like mm-hmm. I felt everything. And then me having the natural birth, I literally felt, like, her head come out. And then after her head, it's, like, you know, her shoulders. And then, like, after that, they're, like, push out the placenta. And I'm, like, what the fuck?
I felt like. Yeah, see, people don't talk about that.
Me. Yeah. And I didn't even know about it. I'm, like, oh, so she was like, you're not done yet. I said, I'm not done yet. I said, what do you mean? She's like, you have to push out the placenta. And then she did it and like pressed hard on my stomach. I'm like, dude, it was like, I don't know. I felt like I didn't even feel like myself, my body. I couldn't even feel my body at this point because everything became numb a little bit for me. I felt like after I felt everything else come out and then also right after they had to stitch me up because she ripped me to my anal. And I didn't even know that can happen. I was so shocked at that. Right. I was like, you know what is going on here? And it was a different experience. I mean, the far as like natural, I will never wish that pain on my worst enemy. But it's definitely a good experience to try, guys. Like, don't always go for the medicine.
So why did you want to have a natural birth? Like, was there something that like you read or like what made you say, no, I don't want an epidural at any point?
No, I did read that like if you moved, you could be paralyzed once they stick that needle up your back. And that was one thing I was like, absolutely not.
That's
I'm not
doing it. But also, Bethany, when you say people don't talk about the placenta, the reason why most people don't talk about the placenta because when you have an epidural, you don't feel that. They don't tell you, oh, wait, you got to push that out again. Like, I don't feel any of that at all. And because you made me think of something, like the whole birthing position, you know what I'm saying? Like, the reason why you probably was ripped is because of the way that they have us give birth in the hospital. Also, I actually blacked out while giving birth because I like hyperventilated, like my oxygen levels like went low, and like they kept telling me to push, but because I wasn't able to feel my lower half, I didn't know, like, I couldn't activate that part of my body. So yeah. I'm literally passed the fuck out in active labor, and then they had to like give me an oxygen mask and like, you know, do all that.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So when Lyric was born, did they like?
Oh, they immediately gave her to me. She was still purple, and it freaked me out, and I told them to take her away. Like, they gave her to me to give to me before they cut her umbilical cord, before dad cut her umbilical cord. But I was like, no, I don't. I was so still exhausted from, like, pushing her. Like, I had no energy to, like, I don't know. Like, I was like, no, get her away from me. And then, like, once they took her, her dad took her, and they cleaned her up. And then they brought her to me and gave her skin. We immediately gave her skin to skin. And then at the time I had piercings in my nipples. I had to take those out to breastfeed her because she was really hungry. But it took a while for her to latch. But the nurses did actually try to help her latch, like literally squeeze the hell out of my titty to latch her onto it.
Yeah.
But it took her a while to latch because Lyric only lasted like 3 months with breastfeeding as well. She didn't even last that long. And then one started to like, you know, inflate. One of them was still big, but yeah, different. And her dad stayed with me the whole time. He was there the whole time.
So what would you rate your birthing experience if you could give them a Yelp review?
Maybe
because it sounds like it's the nurse that was like,
yeah, the nurse was like more like, and the doctor, I didn't meet the doctor until the doctor came in there and started to do whatever, like, because my doctor was, yeah, because my doctor was going into labor herself. So yeah, it was still a good overall experience. Just the nurse, like, she didn't really, she acted like she didn't care. But, like, I feel like a lot of them do, like, especially when they switch shifts and stuff and it'd be a different person. They come in, I'd be like, oh, who is this now?
Yeah, just, like, let me clock in.
That's a common thing, though, Eve, like, for the doctor just to come in at the last part. Like, you was going to deal with that nurse shit, like, whether your doctor was expecting or not. Like, you know, like, with, like, a midwife or a doula, like, they're there. They're, like, know, like, your cheerleader. They're, you know, helping you. Guiding you. You don't have that with a damn OB during active labor. Like, they come in literally when it's time. They're like, all right, it's time. Damn. Yeah. Like, that's it.
Yeah, I just thought because, like, I didn't know her and somebody else is delivering my baby through my vagina, they could at least introduce me to who was going to be doing that.
That's absolutely right. That's
real.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, who is this?
It's a very intimate
personal situation. Definitely.
I'll give them a 5.
You're nice.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll share my story.
You guys both have babies in Vegas, right?
In Vegas? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So I was not in Vegas when I found out I was pregnant. I was living in Oklahoma City because my ex was playing basketball for the Thunder. And so I was on vacation for most of the summer. I went home to North Carolina. Like, we had family reunion. So I'm helping, you know, with the family to get the family reunion together. And I'm gonna be honest, I was at this family reunion trying to turn up. I was drinking, like, I had drinks. I was going out to the clubs with my friends because I'm home. Like, I get to see people I went to school with and people I grew up with. And so I was going out, but I remember I could not get drunk to save my life. I couldn't even get tipsy. So I'm like drinking. I'm like, how come I can't get drunk? But I'm like, okay, whatever. I get back to the house in Oklahoma City. And as soon as I walked in, my nose was just like, what is that smell? What is that smell? I'm opening the pantry. I cleaned the pantry out. I cleaned the refrigerator out. Now, when I was 17, I was pregnant. And one of the first things that made me know that I was pregnant when I was 17 was that my sense of smell was just out of this world. So when I'm in Oklahoma and I'm cleaning out, like, the like, I literally took the trash out and I'm bleaching the trash can because I'm like, what is this fucking smell? And then I was like, wait, why is your sense of smell just like attacking you like this? Like, why are you so pressed? I was like, yo, am I pregnant? So I had a pregnancy test in the closet. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go take this pregnancy test. It came back positive. I was like, fuck, let me go to Walgreens and get about 3-4 more and take another few just to like confirm. They all came back like, yes, girl, you is pregnant. It's okay. So I was like, damn, I'm really pregnant. But my son's dad, he was out of the country at the time. So I was like, I was literally in this big ass house by myself cleaning up because my nose is just like on full attack mode. And I'm pregnant. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I was stressed. I didn't know what I wanted to do because I did not, at that time, I did not want to be pregnant. So when I finally told him, he was excited. He was actually really ecstatic and excited to have a baby because we had always talked about having children. So at that point for him, he was like, cool. Yeah, let's have a kid. So I waited back into town. We went to the doctor. The other like ladies of the Thunder, like who, you know, like the basketball wives and girlfriends, they were like, oh, yeah, when I was pregnant, I went to this doctor. So I'm like, cool. And this guy, this doctor, he was an Indian man. And I've always kind of heard like Indian doctors are just like on it. For some reason, I always had this thing in my mind that Indian doctors was just like on top of their shit. So I'm like, cool. Because my ex is such a tall dude, wherever we go, he takes up all the attention. So here we are in my very first appointment to confirm that I'm pregnant, to get an ultrasound, to get all this. We spent 45 minutes in the waiting room. We get into the office. That appointment was probably all of 10 minutes. And I'd say 8 of those minutes were spent talking about basketball. And I'm just sitting there like, hey guys, pregnant here. Can I get the team?
It's my appointment, right? What's my due date?
Like, tell me what's up. So they finally do the ultrasound. This dude's ultrasound machine was so old that it didn't print out photos. Like,
wow. Why did they recommend you to him?
I have no idea. I don't know. For some reason, they pushed this old ass ultrasound machine in, but they were able to, like, I remember having to take a picture on my phone of the ultrasound on the screen. So I was like, okay, so I'm due March 28th. All right. And so, of course, I believe like after you find out you're pregnant, you have to come back every 4 weeks. So at that time, I was 8 weeks pregnant. Cool. I am 2 months pregnant. So when we came back for the second appointment, spent another 45 minutes in the waiting room. Another quick appointment. They're talking about traveling and, you know, where they're from and world, you know, geography and shit. And I'm here I am. But at this time, in those 4 weeks, I had lost so much weight that, you know, when you go in for your appointment, they you know, weigh you, you do a test or whatever. When I found out I was pregnant, I was 139 pounds. I remember because usually my weight is like between 130, 135. And those extra 4 pounds really, like, I could feel it. So I'm thinking, oh, I'm pregnant. That's why I'm, you know, weighing this much. But when I tell you I went from 139 to 113.
Wow.
And my doctor at no point was like, you know, so what are you eating? What's going on with your diet? Are you okay? We should send you for blood work. We should do this. He was like, you know, some women when they're pregnant, they just
in the beginning stages that happens. Yeah.
And I mean, I'm having hot flashes. I'm passing out. I'm weak. I can barely stand. I was in cosmetology school at the time. I had to drop out because I couldn't be on my feet. Mm-hmm. But at no point did this doctor even give a fuck to like give me any homework. So like, you know what? It could be this, this, or that. Like, he didn't give me a thing. He was just so concerned about talking to, you know, my child's father. And also in this appointment, I'm 3 months at the time. He asked me how much I was when I was born. I weighed 9 pounds, 3 ounces. My child's father was a 10 pounder. So he was like, wow, you guys are going to have a big baby. And because your due date is in March, you're probably going to have a baby during the NBA season. So you might want to consider, you know, scheduling a C-section. And I was just like baffled because I'm like, I am 3 months pregnant. And right now, we're talking about scheduling a C-section because I might have a big baby and it may be an inconvenience to a game. Like, you got me fucked up. So that was the last time I saw that doctor. And it really wasn't on purpose that I was like, you know what, I'm never going to him again. But I went back home to visit my mom. And I was bored. I couldn't rest. And I turned on Netflix and I typed in pregnancy in the search bar. And I saw this documentary called The Business of Being Born. And it really just like changed everything. That was the moment that I dumped my doctor. He never saw me again. I canceled that appointment that I had coming up. Not going to be there. And I began to look up doulas and midwives. I didn't know anything really about what a doula or a midwife was, but I did have a friend in North Carolina that I went to college with. We were really, really close. She had her birth at a birthing center because in North Carolina, it is illegal to have a home birth with a midwife in attendance because the midwife can and will be locked up and charged for like some sort of negligence, which is insane to me.
That is like that's a real thing.
That's a whole nother topic. Like that is that really serious.
That is a real thing. Yeah.
So I knew about natural births and I knew that there were other ways, but like being able to watch that documentary just opened my mind to a whole slew of options. But I also started to remember different births of my friends when they were, you know, having their children. And in Vegas, one of my homegirls, she had a baby and I went to visit her while she was in labor. And I remember the hospital being so cold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was so uncomfortable that I had to go out into the desert heat to like warm my body up so I could go back in and be present for her. And she's cold. She has this IV. She was so pissed because they kept sticking her, poking her with this IV, trying to find this
the
fucking
vein. Yeah.
Why do you need to be hooked up to the IV in the first place?
Right. This is natural.
Why is she hooked up to an IV? And she couldn't eat. She's like asking me to go like to McDonald's to get her some fries. And I'm like sneaking in food for her to eat. So thinking about all of this, I was like, you know what? I think it would be best for me. In Nevada, you can have a home birth. So I'm like, perfect. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to find me a midwife and I'm going to have this baby at the crib because I don't want to be uncomfortable. I don't want to be poked with, because when I go and get blood drawn, they're like, my nails are long, so I can't make a fist. So you're
nails always fucking up. Always.
You're not going to be able to poke me. So I was like, I want to be able to be comfortable at home and just, you know, have my baby here. And so I probably called two women as far as like looking for a midwife. And the second one, the first one, she didn't answer the phone. I left her a message. She didn't call me back until after I had already talked to the second woman, and me and her clicked immediately. And she told me, she was like, hey, you know, I would love to have you. You sound like, you know, you're set on doing this. You seem educated and this will be a good, you know, marriage between us. But she was like, just to let you know, I am, I'm pregnant as well. I am due 2 months after you. I'm like, that's fine. If you're cool, you feel like you can do your thing, then let's do it. And she was a mother of five. She was pregnant with her six. So I'm like, oh, she's experienced. She knows what's going on.
She knows what she's doing.
So, yeah, I'm cool with that. But I didn't have my appointment with her until I would say it was the end of December. And Prince was due March 24th or March 28th. Yeah, so I went a very long time without going to the doctor. And I was fine with that. I only had... And you know what's funny? I actually had two ultrasounds before finding out that I was pregnant with a boy, because when I went back to that second appointment where the doctor was basically ignoring my weight loss, he was like, yeah, so let's see, eight. He tried to say that I was 16 weeks. And I'm like, no, when I was first here, I was eight. So I should be 12 now. And so he, for some reason, added on an extra month. And I'm like, bro, hold on. Can you give me another ultrasound? Because you're adding on a whole month. And I know when I came here at first, you said I was 8 weeks. So I should be 12. And so he had to go back and give me another ultrasound and be like, oh, yeah, you're right. And I was just like, bro, like, what the fuck? But I did make an appointment to go to the hospital and have, you know, the ultrasound to find out the sex of. And like you said, Meek, I knew I was having a son. Like, I remember before the appointment, I'm like, okay, you know, rubbing my belly, like, all right, we're going to go in here. Go ahead and show them your stuff. We get into that appointment. Prince is literally laying with his legs wide open. And because I guess there's like a certain order that they go in. They try to tell you like, okay, the head is a good size and the fingers and, you know, this is good. This is good. And then they tell you last, like, oh, it's a boy or a girl. She could not overlook his penis because it was just like hanging out. And so it was, oh, you're having a boy. Like, that was the first thing she was able to tell me. I was like, boom, I knew it. But yeah, so that was the last ultrasound I had at 16 weeks. I found out I was having a boy and I was like, okay, so what's the point of having ultrasounds every month? I'm not like, and that was another thing that I also decided to research. Like, are ultrasounds safe? Like, what do ultrasounds do?
Is it radioactive? Or is it similar to like not radioactive. Well, what I'm asking is
like radiology in a way.
Yeah, like is it similar to like having an X-ray? Because technically, well, as pregnant, like being pregnant, like you're not supposed to
do that. And from what I learned is that sometimes when you see a baby in the ultrasound and the sonograms, that they're covering their ears because they say it's loud.
So
it can be like a sensory overload to them. In the womb. So sometimes they kind of like curl up like, oh, what's all that noise? So I was like, yeah, my midwife was able to test me in a very holistic way. And I trusted, you know, I trusted her. But it was really, what was really frustrating to me is that friends and family did not support my decision to have a home and natural birth. Everyone was like, oh, when them contractions hit, you're going to be begging for an epidural. Or why do you want a witch doctor to deliver your baby?
Witch doctor.
And I was like, it was so frustrating because here we are, like, Black people. This is our shit. This is our shit.
That's our shit. No, and that's exactly what I was going to say. And it's like, that's just a prime example of people drinking the Kool-Aid. Like, they purposefully, you know, deem those women as witches. Because it went against everything that they were trying to like project within the medical field. And if you notice, like, all of the quote unquote witches are what? They are women talking about what goes on with women bodies. And then you have these males coming in trying to, you know, tell us about how we should deliver our kids. Yeah.
It was the most frustrating thing. And I remember bringing one of my friends to one of my appointments so she could see what it was. So I went from having 15-minute appointments with my doctor to 90-minute appointments every 2 weeks with my midwife. And the amount of education that I received in those 90 minutes, it was so beautiful. I was like excited about this whole process. And I remember when I walked in, because, you know, our first time meeting in person, I was still losing weight. And so she educated me about my body and was telling me, you know, yes, some women do lose weight, but, you know, let's get your blood work to make sure it's not X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. Test came back, you know, I was clear. Everything was fine. My appetite just wasn't. I was looking forward to like having pregnancy cravings. The only thing I craved were popsicles and like slushies and icy shit. And from what my midwife told me, she educated me. She's like, that means you're low on iron. So
iron, yeah.
Take these iron vitamins and supplements, not these, because all this other shit is full of fillers.
Still full of fillers.
These are good. Yeah. These won't constipate you. Like, she is telling me things in layman terms where I'm just like, oh, got it. Boom.
Yeah. And see, but cool. My doctor didn't even suggest a prenatal.
Did they just give you stuff that the hospital like provided them?
Well, no, they don't. She tried, of course. Whatever drug company they were in contract with, of course, that's who they like, you know, promote. But like, I take it upon myself to go to Whole Foods and like, you know, like, okay, because I don't want to be throwing up, but this is what I want. Like, I, you know, looking up what DHA actually is, and like, I had to like educate myself on. But yeah, the physician didn't even say, oh, you know, these are the prenatals that you should be taking. Like, I didn't get none of that.
Wow. Yeah. And my midwife has really educated me. She told me about hypnobirthing, because she really put it like, again, she put everything in layman terms. Like, so if you breathe with a deeper voice, that will help your baby come down when you're in labor. But if you're high pitching, you're tense, your baby's not going to move. And I was like, oh, yeah, got it.
I did that.
She was like, when you're having sex, if you're relaxed, it's going to be moans and you're going to sound pretty primitive. And it's the same in birth. You should sound, you know, it should be smooth. It should be low. It should be, I mean, it's not going to sound pretty, but you know, whatever it takes for you to be able to move your baby through. Because she was like, you know, you're not going to have a baby that you're not going to grow a child that you can't birth. Right. And so when I thought about that, like, okay, I'm growing a child that's like specifically for my body.
Your belly. Yeah.
And so, cause I just knew like if I had to ever be transported to a hospital or I wasn't able, like if I was out of town when I went to labor, I already knew, hey, I don't want meds. And if you try to push an epidural or a C-section on me, not doing it, because I know that for some doctors, it's just the easiest, you know, way out. I'm going to come in, I'm going to cut you open, get this baby out, and I'm going to go home and be on time for dinner. And I just made some money. I remember even when I went to the doctor, to the hospital to have the sonogram to find out the sex of the baby. And they didn't know. I didn't tell any of them that I was planning on having a home birth because I knew that they would try to talk me out of it. And so, you know, even the girl who was doing the sonogram for me, she was just like, you know, you want to have a natural birth. That's really cool. It will only cost $2,500 if you want to have a natural birth. Mind you, that's how much my midwife cost, $25.
Right.
That included every appointment before Prince was born. And every appointment after Prince was born, 25.
So just for comparison, a hospital birth, about $8,000 to $10,000, like just regular, like with no complicate, like $8,000 to $10,000.
Yeah.
So yeah.
No, and
just so people can compare,
because they don't tell you like, okay, after they're born and you want some pain medicine, you want some ibuprofen,
right?
$40 a pill.
And also note, I had already paid my OB before I got told like that. The 8 to 10 was specifically for my hospital visit. Each time I went and had an appointment with my physician, I paid for that appointment. So
So I like, she's telling me, oh yeah, to have a natural birth is $2,500 here at the hospital, but that doesn't include the meds that they give you after. Some hospitals will charge you for skin to skin after your baby is born. Like,
really?
Oh yes, they will charge you for skin.
How do you, man? Oh my gosh, yo! Like, how do you charge for my skin?
So they're charging you for a lactation consultant to come in and teach you how to breastfeed. They even care, because some hospitals be like, they won't latch. Here's formula.
Exactly.
Here you go.
They didn't even try to latch Elijah. They just gave him formula without my consent.
See? Wow. And that was the thing. I just wanted to avoid all of that. And my midwife was just so dope. And it was just really cool also to see her growing along with me. she was also pregnant with a boy as well. But so as far as like labor goes, I went into labor on a Sunday afternoon. So the Saturday afternoon, 24 hours before that, I was having Braxton Hicks contractions where my belly was just getting tight. And then it would just kind of like go back to normal. And I went to Brio because I was like, look, I think this baby might be coming soon. So let me go ahead and let me sit down and enjoy a meal before I become a mom. So me and my mom, we went to eat, and I brought some Brio home with me just to warm up, just in case, you know, I was still hungry. But the next day I woke up, contractions woke me up. I'm like, okay, labor starting. What I really loved about my midwife is that there was a birthing kit that I had to purchase, which was $99. It came with everything I needed to have a comfortable home birth, a water birth. So she was going to provide the tub, but it came with like all the pads, all the shit that you need after you have the baby, like a sitz bath that you can sit in to help heal you and to help speed up the process of like helping your vagina feel okay after pushing a baby out. So I had everything I needed at home, but my mom, she wanted to go and get something to eat because she was going to be home with me. My son's dad was actually out of town, and he needed permission from the team to be able to travel out of state because, you know, they're liable for all of that. So they have to get permission to be able to travel. So it was just me and my mom going through labor, and it was a new moon. And sometimes on a new moon, people say it's a full moon, but the new moon will help induce a lot of women into birth. So my midwife had me. And she had another woman who had went to birth, went to labor maybe 4 hours before I did. So she was there with me, but she was in great communication with me. Like, hey, when you see your mucus plug, I was like, mucus plug? What's a mucus plug? People don't, like doctors and people, they don't prepare you for this mucus that literally comes out of your vagina when it's like time for your water will break next. Break. Like she was like, yeah. So she was like, when your mucus plug shows, then, you know, call me and I'll be on the way. She was like, I'm gonna take a nap. I just, you know, help deliver this other baby. I'll be on my way as soon as that mucus plug drops or your water breaks. So nothing was happening. And I'm like, okay, I'm laboring on the toilet. Because I'm home, I'm able to eat and drink whatever I want. I was watching Real Housewives of Atlanta in the living room on my little exercise ball, like, you know, going through these contractions. I had an app on my phone that was like timing my contractions so I knew how far apart they were. At no point did I know how much I was dilated. Because I feel like that's only really a thing for hospitals to kind of like time you and see how fast labor is progressing for you. Like my midwife, she was like, the baby's going to come when he's ready to come. So there's no need for me to keep putting my fingers up there to see how much you've dilated. So I was like, cool. I was in labor for 18 hours. It wasn't bad. It was only really bad when I laid on my back to try to get some sleep. When I tell you I was in excruciating pain when I tried to lay on my back, and I'm like, how are women really in the hospitals, like bound to a hospital bed, laying down on their back when they should be able to move around and move in a way that's comfortable to help the baby move down and to speed up the process? If you're just sitting in bed, of course they're going to be like, all right, so you haven't dilated much, you know, let me, you know, break your water or induce your labor with some Pitocin or give you this epidural because, yeah, it hurts, right? Like, hell yeah, bitch, I'm laying on my back. Like, right. Hell yeah. But being able to walk around and move around and like I'm FaceTiming, I got a playlist, I got candles lit. Like I really set a mood for my birth. And so the 18 hours didn't feel like 18 hours. When I got to the 17th hour, my water hadn't broken. So my midwife was not there. So I ran myself a bath. I had already taken like 2 showers just to let the warm water relax me. But I ran myself a bath and sat in, and maybe 5 minutes later, my water broke in the bath water. So I'm like, okay. I text her. She gets there maybe 30 minutes later. Prince was born 10 minutes later. Like it literally went from 0 to 100, like within the last hour. And what was just so dope is that she allowed me to just be in the moment. There was no people around me rushing and like panicking and making it seem like an emergency had just happened. It was like, I pulled my son out with my hands and I sat down and I held him on my chest. And she just sat on the edge of the tub, like just watching. She's observing everything that's going on. She's making sure, she's like, midwives, they have their own thing that they're doing in their head, but they're making sure everything is okay. But she was like, there's certain tests that she's doing mentally on Prince. Like, okay, I can see him breathing because his nostrils are moving. Or, you know, it's just so...
So did you cut his umbilical cord?
I'm gonna be real, I can't remember. we kept him, like, once I delivered my placenta, we kept him attached for as long as... God, I feel like he was attached for like 2 hours because there was no need to cut it because you have to let the cord pulsate and because there's very important things happening in that moment. And I also had plans to have my placenta encapsulated so that I could take them in pill form because I was educated on all the benefits of consuming your placenta after birth, yeah, which led to me. Yeah, some people eat it. Some people put right it in after. A smoothie like right after.
They didn't. When I tell you, I didn't even see no placenta. Like it was immediately discarded.
Like gone. Yeah, they take it.
There was no mention of it. There was no nothing. Like I don't even know where they took it. I don't even know where it went. Like so, technically, they
let them know at the hospitals in advance. Like, hey, I want that. So don't just take my shit. And then you literally have to sign for that shit.
Yeah.
It's like, just it's the weirdest things. Like that belongs to me. That came out of my body. Like let me have that. Yeah. My midwife had a doula that came and assisted her. When I tell you they cleaned the fuck up, I didn't see a mess. I didn't see a thing. I did tear just a little, but as I'm breastfeeding Prince, my midwife stitched me right on up. And her advice was like, look, stay in bed with your legs closed and just relax.
And did you think that was hurt? Like, because for me, the next day, like...
Oh, the next day?
No, actually 3 days after they released me, when I got home and I tried to sit down with them stitches, I was like, bruh, these things is tight.
It was just like when I had to use the bathroom, I was like, okay. So she, you know, that whole birthing kit came with a bottle that you squeeze. So when you go, so I had that with all the sit stuff in there to help me like not feel any pain. Well, I felt some, of course you're going to feel it, but it alleviated the urine from like really affecting me and my stitches. So it wasn't terrible. I remember I just was in bed, like, on my
I was heavily constipated. Like,
I was constipated, okay.
And like the, like, so if, like, for me pushing, I think it's because the way I was pushing, the pressure was applied to my butt. And so like that, it's like, I feel like you have like an alert button by your asshole or something. Like there's something like a boo-boo button that like, you know, once the boo-boo hit the button, it lets you know, like, I got to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that boo-boo button was like, was swollen because of all the pressure, you know, or whatnot. Because I felt like I kept saying, like, I gotta go to the bathroom, and nothing was coming
natural,
out.
That's a natural thing. Are you talking about while you were in labor?
No, I'm talking about after labor.
Okay. Yeah. So look, I remember I was constipated, and my midwife recommended, like, you know, safe, like a laxative to take while I was nursing, because, you know, you just can't take any over-the-counter stuff while you're breastfeeding. But it didn't work. So I remember at some point I actually end up having to go, but I was like, I had my whole hand like on my vagina because I was so afraid that something was going to pop or fall out or like happen as I'm like trying to like defecate, like, bruh, like it was weird. But no one tells you these things about like what happens to your body after you give birth, which is why a lot of women end up, you know, dying after giving birth, because their concerns are just kind of like discarded. Like, oh yeah, of course you're in pain. It's like, no, but this is different. Like, this is really not feeling right. And they just, well, you just had a baby. So no, like, can you go and check? Because a lot of women are bleeding out or bleeding internally, and things aren't, you know, being discussed, and the woman ends up passing away.
You know what's so crazy is, like, so currently in my studies, I'm actually studying the psychology of the reproduction experience. And the thing I realized is, I knew going into that class, I knew that, like, as Black women, we were 3 to 4 times higher in the maternal mortality rate, right? And so, of course, just in, like, Black women healthcare period, we are just, like, always dismissed. But then I realized the lack of power and how we really don't have rights as women over our body. I've been like surprised through like every reading, through every documentary, when I find like, no, it's from politicians to physicians to big farm that's dictating and that has full on power over what we can do with our bodies. So then when you think about that, when it's like, okay, just as women, we don't have rights. I can't say I'm surprised now that Black women are at the bottom of that totem pole. You
and
know
it's
what
funny
mean?
Because it has nothing to do with education. None. Or how much money these women
it
make.
It doesn't.
It's literally.
It's just women. And it's a power. And another thing that I thought about too, when you were talking about your experience, is like when you were talking about the doctors constantly rushing, right? Yeah. So you would think that if they wanted to, you know, perform in a more efficient, healthier way, there's ways to do that naturally, where it's like, mm-hmm. if you were really concerned about the health of the baby, there's ways and practices that we could implement that would, you know, naturally induce mothers, or, you know what I'm saying, and get the ball rolling. So like the health of the child or the mother is not the priority. It's about, like, we are literally just case numbers and freaking dollar signs. And it's just like, however much I can scan that bracelet and rack this up, real talk.
No, for like, real, yeah.
Like, and rack this up. Tylenol, $500. Epidural, like, a gajillion dollars. C-section. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and a lot of, and also studies show that a lot of these C-sections are unnecessary.
Yeah, and it's a fear tactic that they use because definitely. Once they load you up with all this medicine, of course the baby is going to be affected in some way. So the heart rate might slow down. So it's like, oh my God, your baby's heart rate is slowed down. We have to take him now. And it's right. like, you put a panic in you, like, oh my God, if I don't have the surgery, then my baby's gonna die.
Out of my baby, right.
Right, and so I think it's now one out of every 3 births, a C-section happens. That is way too many.
You know that there's hospitals where their C-section is at like a 95%.
Oh God, that's disgusting.
95%. Like, there's no reason why you should be cutting women open at that type of rate. 95%.
They've really in media and movies and Hollywood, they've really turned birth into like this traumatic, terrible experience. And then once they put you through all of this trauma, they're like, well, at least you and the baby are okay. And it's like no,
they treat birth like it's like some like sickening, like a sickness. Like, we treated you and you guys both survived. Like, the fuck do you mean? Like, bro.
Like, Jesus. And so, and even like with like getting my son's birth certificate, like doing all this stuff at home and like having to go to the Social Security, you know, department and get his birth certificate. I'm like, oh, you had a home birth. It's like this whole like snob thing treating me like it's shit because I chose to go around this whole big pharma system. It's like, yeah, I had a home birth. Like, yeah.
So you would say your experience was rated.
You know, and even I remember at one point where my contractions were like tough. I didn't have contractions in my back. They were like in my legs, like in my thighs. They ran down the front of my body. And at one point I'm sitting on the toilet like, oh my God, like I feel like I got a shit. Like, it's just so much happening. But I asked myself, I was like, would you do this again? Like, if you were pregnant again, would you do this again? I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I would rather do this in the comfort of my home than being miserable at a hospital and having a whole bunch of people that I don't know and being cold and uncomfortable and can't eat. My midwife explain labor as like a marathon. So at what point in a marathon are you not able to drink? Don't you have to like prepare yourself for a marathon and eat? Don't you like have access to Gatorade stand or like, you know, like,
and your body normally asks for what it needs, you know?
Yeah, because like, I was so thirsty.
It's very rare that you just over here just snacking just because, like, it's like, no, I'm hungry, you know?
Yeah.
So you know nothing. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying it was just an experience that I just love sharing with people because I just like for women to know, especially Black women, that there are options.
Definitely.
Like, you do not have to go this whole route. And when people try to shame you for doing something different, it shouldn't even be considered different. Like, I don't understand why natural births are not the norm. I understand there are some cases where, you know, there are high risk pregnancies and you need to be at the hospital and monitored. I totally get that. Mm-hmm. But if you are having a normal pregnancy, you should be able to have, you know, explore your options and see what's best for you. And if you feel like, you know what, I'm gonna pay a doula to come in and just be able to speak for me when they're trying to push it on me, cool. If you need to educate your partner and be like, babe, if they're trying to, you know, say this and say that, speak up for me. Like, there's so many options. You just can't allow the hospitals to treat you like a number.
Also, another thing to add to that is, like, ladies, pregnancy is, like, you've heard all 3 of our stories, and guess what, all 3 of our stories were different, but pain was in every single one of them. That whole like, oh, I don't want to feel this, so guess what, you're going to feel it. Like, pain is inevitable when it comes down to having a baby. And
now
also,
there are
like,
some women who haven't, who like the birth was quick and
yeah,
easy.
Yeah, and don't have it. But I'm just
they're
saying
unicorns,
like,
but
right.
It is possible.
But I'm saying like, like, if that's the main reason why you need to go to the hospital, fear is definitely a dominant tactic that is used to, like, push us into those hospitals. And, like, just like Bethany expressed, the more she knew of what her body was capable of doing, the more she was able to go into her labor confident. Confidence, you know, overshines fear with every single time.
And also, let me tell you, my midwife was not there until the last hour. Right. So.
But she well prepared you. I was prepared. What I mean? You were completely prepared on, like, what to do, how to set yourself up, how to relax yourself. The whole, you know, intent was to, like, relax yourself, right, and not to freak out, not to tense the body. Also, another thing that, like, when you were speaking to, like, Black women, the main reason why we do that, the main reason why we are high on mortality rate is because we, out of all groups of people, we have the longest lifespan under stress. Like, we it's a known fact that the Black woman lives majority of her life under high levels of stress compared to other women. So with that said, like, that's just how the shit is set up for us. You can take your birthing experience and take control of that and alleviate that stress from yourself once you have that control. You know, like, labor does not have to be a stress situation. And that, and it kind of correlates with what you said when you were saying, when your body is stressed and tense, that's when shit goes haywire. That's when the baby is not able to do what it's supposed to do. But once you are able to control the situation and relax yourself, relax your body, you know, that goes out the window. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, my midwife, she came to visit me. I didn't have to leave home. She came to visit me 3 times just to check on me and the baby after having, after giving birth. And, you know, after you, after you have your baby in the hospital, you got to come back like a week or two later.
Yeah.
And get a checkup. But it was just so convenient to not have to leave my home, bruh. That, and to have someone, like, sit down and talk to me like a human that just gave birth. Like, how are you feeling? Like, it's not all about the babies. Like, how is everything going? I remember I thought I was doing very well breastfeeding. It was a little painful at first, but she was like, hey, you know, she was kind of like monitoring how, you know, I nursed him. And she was like, you know what? I think he has a tongue tie because his latch is a little bit off. And went to the doctor, got the tongue tie is when, you know, the little line under your tongue is a bit short and you can snip it and it extends the tongue and allows the baby to latch better. She picked that up immediately and was like, yeah, you know, all you got to do is go to the doctor. It's a quick snip and your breast milk is like an ibuprofen. So he's not going to be in pain. I was like, bet. As soon as I got that done, hell, I breastfed for 3.5 years. So, and to this day, I still can text or call her or message her on Facebook if I have any questions about anything. So being able to continue to have that relationship, I have a better relationship with her than Prince's primary care doctor, like his pediatrician. Like, that's crazy to me. But yeah, so women, you know, I just really want you guys to, like, hear our stories. It's 3 different stories. I think the whole thing here is just being informed and knowing what you're capable of doing and not allowing people to scare you into some shit you don't want to do.
But also, like, how when we spoke about mental health, like, it's nothing wrong with, like, getting a test and saying, like, oh, I'm pregnant and getting informed. It's never too late to, you know, gain knowledge. But I just encourage women, like, you know, it's nothing wrong with also with just being informed of what your body is capable of doing. Even if you don't even see children in your future, you still need to have an understanding of this machine that you wake up and, you know, operate on a daily basis. So
if you plan on having children, you need to be informed as well.
That part.
So, because the last thing you want to do is be in a situation and you lose your partner and you're raising your child solo.
By yourself.
So, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's happening. It's happening. Right. There's an alarming rate
from nowhere.
It's an alarming rate of Black men raising their children because the mother passed away either due to complications to birth or
even a year later from complications of birth. So So it's not even just like right
it's
after.
So much. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Woo. So yeah, no red light special today. But of course, if you guys, you know, have any questions, feel free to email us. We love the DMs. Maybe not Elizabeth, but maybe on this subject, Elizabeth might. She might. Oh, she
I'm definitely respond. Down she to answer any type of questions as far as like, you know, simple things in life.
Yeah, right. You know? Someone go come in your DM and be like, so, like, how was that Jell-O?
In the how hospital. Was that Jell-O in the hospital?
Don't even approach me with that shit. Like, why would
like,
you?
Next time you need somebody to keep you warm, what's up?
Like, what's up?
When we have a baby, it's going to be like this.
See? Right. Okay, I'm down to answer any women's questions that you might have for birth. Other than that, Jell-O, all that unnecessary conversation is not being answered. So.
All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to us. A very special episode of Crazy Sexy Cool Podcast. Until next week, we'll holla. Take care of yourselves.
Aha.
Mommies unite.
Black moms matter.
Black moms.
Amen.